this day to glorify your name, Father God. That is why we live, Father. That is why we're here. That is why, Father God, we do everything that we do. It's because of your name. Father, we celebrate your name today. May, Father God, the nations get to know you better, Father, through your sons and daughters. May your love shine through us, and Father, may every one of us be ambassadors, Father God, to your heavenly kingdom. Father, may you truly, Father God, establish your kingdom on this earth, Father, for the sake of eternity. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died for us on the cross and rose again to give us life and life in abundance. And this morning we pray in Jesus' name, let us just experience your love and your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Thanks to the worship team, you guys. It's awesome. You really bring us into the inner court. It's always so nice to come to Namibia. It feels like home. I always have a problem with Yankor and Sandra. When they come here, I beforehand know that they're going to fight with me trying to stay, not coming back to South Africa again. And when I visit you guys, I always know why it is so. It's really so nice. Yesterday, Barry, where's Barry? Barry and Nicole. It was so awesome. They took us there on the sand dunes to have some fun with a little four-wheeler. And also, we made our bodies feel very sore today. I realize how unfit I am, Yaku. I'll have to go and do some workout when I get back home. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. If you can turn with me, if you've got your Bibles here, please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. Verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Verse 4. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. I say, I don't have verse 10 as well. I'll just get the Bible from you later on. I thought it was just the Afrikaans version. I just quickly want to, this morning, establish something in all of our hearts. I believe God is really challenging us as a church to think differently about his kingdom and about the way and how he's going to approach us being his ambassadors in this world. Each one of us do have a responsibility, but it's just so awesome to be part of what God is busy doing, isn't it so? Okay, are you with me this morning? You're not playing church. We are here to really experience the life of God in our lives, and that is what excites us. Not church. Sunday is just, you know, the fruit of us having a desire to come together as his people to live Christian life and to really be his ambassadors here in Swakop. And you're here for a purpose. God loves you and he needs you to really understand this love and what His love is all about. And what in Mark 14, it's so special for me what happened in Mary's life. Mary then, a very good friend of Jesus, but also the sister of Lazarus, which we know was raised from the dead, but also the sister of Martha. And we'll speak about Martha just later on. But you must understand the historical context of what was happening here in Jesus' life and the urgency in which He was approaching the kingdom to come here on earth. At this stage, it was just before Jesus went to the cross to die for each one of us. And he was sitting in the house of a leprous man, which at this stage was healed because of Jesus Christ. And because this person was so thankful toward Jesus, he said, "Come, just Jesus, come to my house. I want to just bless you." So himself and Jesus' disciples and a few others were together in this house, and they were just enjoying some fellowship time together. And this lady, Mary, came and she poured out this alabaster flask of oil, spikenard oil, which was very valuable at this historical time, because it was for every bride to go into marriage, it was her responsibility to bring an alabaster flask of spikenard oil into the marriage. That was the only thing that was asked of her, is that she had to bring this oil and anoint her future husband-to-be. So it was for Mary very, very precious, because it was a future, it was a hope for her husband and for what was happening in her life, but was also a year worth of wages. So it was worth a lot of money. And there was a few of them that were so, just cross with this woman wasting such money, but not for Jesus. Jesus understood what was busy happening. This was 4 days before Jesus went to the cross, and for 4 days Jesus was examined. We know that the little lambs, every household had to take a little lamb to the priest to be offered for their sins. And for 4 days they looked through the little lamb and made sure that there was no blemish. That this was a perfect lamb. That when they offer it, it's a sweet fragrance unto God. So, for 4 days then, Jesus also went through a lot of hardship in being examined by all of the leaders of the current time. The time where he was sent to Herod, he was sent to Pontius Pilate, and all of them examined Jesus, asking him some questions. And we know that on the fourth day, Jesus, at the third hour, hung on the cross. What was so precious about this is that on this day there was no offering, because at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock that afternoon, Jesus shouted the words, "Tetelestai." It is finished. And because of that, the temple, the curtain was torn, and also the altar broke. And at 3 o'clock that afternoon, no lamb was offered in Jerusalem, because Jesus was the lamb. And he replaced for us the sacrifice, so that each one of our sins would we be looked after for. But we also know that at this stage, Caiaphas, which was the high priest, just before that, he torn his clothes when he examined Jesus, and he said, "You cannot be the Son of God." And he torn his clothes. Now that was also the sign for a high priest to disqualify himself for the work of the high priest. So Jesus was also the high priest. But in a time such as this, where Jesus was examined, you know what happened? He was sitting together with normal, ordinary people, experiencing ordinary, everyday life, and people thanking him. And this woman came in and she gave him her best. The first thing that I want to just tell you this morning is, so many times we are indignantly exposed because we don't understand the agenda that Jesus Christ has. Because Mary understood it. At this stage, Mary understood what was on the heart of Jesus Christ and how precious it was for him and how under pressure he was. We know that later on he went to the Mount of Olives where he sweat blood. It was a difficult time for him. And at this stage, it was so precious that there was one person understanding the urgency of the matter when he said he's going to die. And within that, that there's one person that understands the agenda of God, the Father, the one who wants to save the sinners of the world. Because we know that even a guy like Peter got it all wrong. Just before that, Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." You know what? It was a good thing that Peter was suggesting to Jesus. He was saying, "Jesus, it will never happen to you. I will make sure that nothing happened to you." But the same Peter, Jesus said, "You're not on my agenda. You don't understand what I'm going through now and where I'm going." But for Mary, it was so precious because she understood the heart of Jesus Christ and the significance of that moment, that precious moment with Jesus Christ. And I so many times in the kingdom see us as Christians making sums when we get around God and, you know, trying to scheme and connive to make the kingdom, but as long as it suits our agenda, as long as we get ourselves in a position where we are thriving. And you know what? I know all of us, you know, we come with good intentions, and I'm talking about to you this morning as a sinner, as somebody that gets it wrong a lot of the time. But at least I can say this morning with the heart's desire to follow Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of you as well. I know that this morning you are sitting here and you know that these things are happening in your own life as well, because we are living a life where we are confronted every day with the selfish desire of the flesh. And you know what it's all about? Control. Because if we can control our lives, if we can at least say that we can control in a little bit of a way our destiny, then we are safe. And we normally see this manifest through two things in everyday life. There's a lot of things, but the things that frequently happens that tempt us in the flesh is that of money. Because if we have a lot of money, we can make sure to determine how we're going to spend it and be in control in the way which we will apply it in everyday life and even control other people's lives. The other one is relationships. If we can just have that position at work where we can make decisions on behalf of other people. If we at school are just at the place where we have a little bit of influence to manipulate our circumstances and our friends. Am I the only sinner here this morning? People, this happens in my life every day. That is why Jesus told us so many stories, and even in Peter's life, in Paul's life, he says that we must sacrifice daily the flesh. Because there's a pendulum that's swinging in our lives when the flesh is in control that goes two ways. And I had this aunt in Stellenbosch, I remember, years ago. I was a small boy, and she had this piano. And on the piano, she had this pendulum, metronome. A very nice word for a thing that goes from side to side and keeps the rhythm. And then you must make sure that you, when you play the piano, that you keep to that rhythm. But in our lives, you know, there's a pendulum that's swinging all the time. The one is the one of arrogance, where we are so in control and we've, in our own thinking, in our own system and way in which we approach life, are so organized that we are the bee's knees, we know exactly how to approach things and do things in this lifetime. Because we've done it before and we are so successful. And that helps us to control everyday life. But you know what the bottom of this pendulum is? Self. And self-control. The other direction of the pendulum is the one of just fear. Just being so afraid that I might not do what Jesus Christ is expecting me to do in this lifetime. I'm just not worthy. I just feel like a failure. I just feel like time is not on my side anymore to fulfill the kingdom of God. I just feel like that I don't have the resources, and the pendulum swinging from one side to the other, and still the root of it all stays the same. Because focusing on self will bring you to fear, because you cannot make it. And I want to just make it very clear this morning. Out of yourself, you will not be able to make it in this lifetime. Even if you are focusing on your own ability to make things happen in this world, or, you know, falling in the pit of self-pity, the focus is still self. And now Jesus has this moment with these people around him. And we know in Matthew 6, Jesus even said, where your treasure is, that your heart will be also. And Jesus is speaking about a place where Mary could find his agenda and that she could live according to it. A place that is valuable to Jesus Christ. The second thing was, he said in verse 6, it was done to me. A beautiful thing she had done to me. She was pointing out the death of Jesus Christ and anointed Jesus as the Lamb of God before his burial. But you know what? She understood the schedule of Jesus Christ. And I many times, you know, seen our own lives that we are making sums when it gets to Jesus Christ and how we're going to overcome this world. But we miss Jesus so many times because we don't know where he is. About a month ago, we had a meeting there in Stellenbosch with one of the guys that is just planning the whole city, the city planner. We spoke about, you know, just the little property that we have there. Are we going to develop it? Should we use it for a church? What should we do with the little property? And at that stage, he was just saying, you know, guys, I don't understand church, but I just want to tell you that this property is just too valuable for church. And I was sitting around the table and I was just thinking, you know what, that's fine. If you think in worldly terms about counting the cost. Because yes, there will probably be, you know, you can have a great development there with that can bring in a lot of revenue, a lot of income. Except if that is not what Jesus Christ wants. I just, I'm so glad that Pastor Fred at that stage said, so what do we say about the big mother church that's in the central town? You know, what value can you place on that building, that beautiful building? And that was just for me so important to understand at that stage, because I could see that in the paradigm of everyday life, we are not on the same page that Jesus is. It's as if playing on a chessboard, Monopoly. The rules are different and it's not working. Because if you're on Jesus' page, you must work according to his rules. And you must understand that when Jesus speaks, you do whatever he's asking you to do. And you make sure to follow him wholeheartedly. Mary was such a person that understood in the midst of all and everyone coming against her, she was only satisfied to give her best to Jesus. because that is what she could give. And at this stage, as she was busy spending time at the feet of Jesus Christ, there was her sister working in the kitchen, complaining about Mary being at Jesus' feet. Why can she sit at your feet while I am busy working so hard in serving the people? And you know what? The problem that Jesus has is not about Martha being in the kitchen. The problem is not about Martha being in the kitchen and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. The problem is that Martha has a problem with Mary. And this is what the story is all about, because at this stage, if Martha just did what Jesus Christ has asked her to do, she would have been in a safe place, being satisfied with serving everyone around Jesus Christ. And so often I find in Christian circles or in the Church of Jesus that we are focusing so much on the other guy's anointing. And why can he have such a special time with you, Jesus? Why can he have such breakthrough and experience such favor in society? And what about me serving you in the kitchen? There's nothing wrong being in the kitchen if you know that that is what Jesus Christ has called you to do. And at this stage, you know, Jesus really was saddened in his heart because of this reaction. Because if you think about Martha's relationship with Jesus, and we so often in church circles see the same thing, and I want to say about myself as well, I've done it so wrong in the past as well, is that we suffocate everyone around us because we're so afraid that they might experience Jesus more than us. Let's talk about just the love of God in church. So many times, you know, we are busy judging people according to their actions, but ourselves according to our intentions. We are so busy saying that, listen, I didn't really mean it that way. I didn't really mean it that way when I did this and this and this. But if anyone else do something wrong, we judge them according to their actions. You've done this and this and this wrong, and we've got this list of things that we keep book and account of. But when it gets to us, it's about our intentions. Are you with me this morning? Church of Jesus Christ, let us understand that Jesus Christ has called us to be a body. To understand that Mary understood that, you know what, they can freak out. They can be the 12 glorious disciples of Jesus Christ. I don't care. I just know one thing. I must anoint Jesus for his burial. And Jesus appreciated that enough that he said she will be remembered in eternity. She will be remembered every day that you read this story in the Word of God till I come back. What a precious thing. To understand when Jesus is talking, to know his heart and to follow him wholeheartedly. The third thing that I want to mention, she did what she could. Verse 8. She surrendered all her possessions and everything that she had to Jesus and saying, listen, I will make your kingdom come. I will be on your page. And Jesus, I don't know how I'll get a husband after this. I'm giving you what I've worked for a year for so that you can be established, so that you, Jesus, can fulfill the calling that God the Father has on your life. I see so many men of God in the Word of God that understood pacing themselves from beginning to end, serving Jesus. If I think about Peter, 2 Peter 1 verse 14 says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Listen to this. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I think the biggest sign of maturity in this lifetime is when you and I can know what Jesus has called us to. and to know when we fulfilled that. I think that is why a guy like Peter will at the end sit at the right hand of Jesus Christ on the 12 thrones being assigned to the disciples. Because Jesus promised that. It's just the fact that he understood, Jesus, you have called me to a certain calling in this lifetime and I'm dedicated to it. He says, now I can die. That's why he says, I can put off my tent. I can die now, just Jesus, because I know that I've done what you've asked me to do. What an enormous privilege to serve Jesus Christ and know what he's called you to do. Another guy was Paul. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. To finish my race with joy. Paul so many times spoke about just a race with a beginning and an end. And he understood what Jesus had called him to. That's why he could go to Jerusalem. The rest of the people said, No, Paul. Listen, we've got this word of, now I must get it right. You guys did SOS. Is it now wisdom or knowledge? No, it's the word of knowledge. No, the word of wisdom. No, it's knowledge. It's knowledge. You must not go into Jerusalem. Paul said, no ways. I know what God wants for my life. Even though there will be adversity in Jerusalem, I'm going into Jerusalem. I'm going to fulfill that which God has called me to, because I know that this is the calling upon my life. And even through all of this, we know how Paul went through hardship through Jerusalem, how he went through hardship going all around the coast to Italy, to Rome, where he was in jail because of this decision. You know what? Paul understood his race. He understood that which Christ Jesus has called him to fulfill. Now I want to say to you this morning, I know that the enemy so often comes against us and tell us, you will never fulfill anything for God. You will not fulfill your calling. You've missed it. You've made wrong decisions in this lifetime. I want to say, God restores the years that the locusts have eaten because he loves you. He says in his word, Romans 8, I will work everything together for your good because I love you. I want to tell you this morning, don't let the devil bring you to a place where you don't understand that opposition you will get. People will tell you, no. You can't do this. You can't. Things are not done that way in the kingdom. We so often in the church are so guilty of that. Hindering people to really come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Like the disciples. Like the disciples who says to Mary, no. You can't do this. We know what's important for the economy of Jesus. What's important to establish the kingdom. And then Jesus says, no, you don't. Mary knows. I want to tell you this morning that God is doing awesome things all over the world because he loves his people. Because he loves his kingdom. And he's establishing his kingdom. And as we partner together with him, as Mary did. Now I'm not saying, listen, I must just get it straight this morning. Church is important. Jesus is coming back for his church. That's why in Revelation 3:4 he speaks about coming back to the angel of the house. It will be the pastor. Ezekiel 34 speaks about, I'm going to go against those who oppress my people if they are not doing it right. But there is a right way as well. Jesus is coming back for his bride, for his church. So I'm not saying the church is not right. I'm saying that we as a church, because we are the church, must be sensitive enough for the leading of the Holy Spirit at times such as this, where we can really see an impact changing the nations. I'm so glad you guys did the SOS the other day. Because the heart of Jesus Christ is not to have a great building and to have a great ministry, but to change swakopman. To see the oppressed being healed. And if that is not our desire, if we cannot go out to the mission field even and go and tell people about Jesus and see the sick being healed, then we've missed the agenda of Jesus Christ. Mary understood the agenda of Jesus. And therefore, I want to say to you, that place where the devil comes against you and tell you that you are not worthy and you're not, just stop him immediately there. Tell him, I'm content within Jesus Christ because I know that that is what he's given me now. I will make the best out of it because I will hear what he wants for my life right now. And I will follow his leading. Not one day. I'm not going to see great things happening in the future, someday, one day. Today, I'm going to be content enough so that that pendulum will not swing to the left or to the right, but be at a place of contentment within the Lord where I can say, God is in my life. He's relevant. I find and I confine myself within his plans and purposes for my life. You know, the last thing that I want to mention is the one, what she has done will be told. Verse 9. She had an eternal purpose and value concept that many of us are so struggling with. But you know what? She internalized her decision making in focusing on the things that is of eternal value. But what was so precious is when she committed herself to that eternal purpose, she was exposing something that was happening all around Jesus Christ. Because her commitment to Jesus made others to tremble around Jesus now. Because as she was pursuing Jesus and his kingdom, something happened that I want to just quickly turn to. And that is verse 10. Do you have, just go to your Bibles quickly to chapter 14, verse 10 again. Do you have your Bibles? Yeah. Okay. Danelle's got an iPod. A quick look up, verse 10. This is now just after verse 9. In which Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then in verse 10, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. I think this is probably the most significant part of this scripture, of this passage, is what happened in Judas's heart when Mary was so committed to fulfill Jesus's life, Jesus' plan for her life. Because when she did this, this guy, Judas, for 3 years were around Jesus Christ. He spent time with Jesus. He got some impartation. He saw what Jesus did. He lived in the fear of God when the 5,000 was being fed. He lived in the fear of God when those who were oppressed and had demons came and fell at the knees of Jesus Christ. And in all of this, we see something in Judas's heart through these 3 years progressing where he was busy making sums all the time. You know what? This Jesus, hey, strange guy. I don't think he's the Messiah. I must be honest with myself. You know, the real people are the people in which I would make a covenant with afterwards. Those who are in the society, the well-known men who makes good business decisions, who makes good choices in life, Because I can see that Jesus is going down. He's going to the cross. And I'm not going to be part of this. I've made my sums. For 3 years, Judas was making sums in his own head. And so typically of each one of us being confronted in difficult circumstances, being confronted with the fact that we must make a decision, are this Jesus that we are serving real or not? Or are the world out there that can make sums, are they the real people? Are their monopoly game and the rules of it better than those than that of Jesus Christ? Or am I serving Almighty God in which glory is filling the whole earth and He is busy establishing His kingdom every day. Jesus preparing His bride so that He can come back. You know what? I want to just quickly read to you in John chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, just the parallel story of what happened in Mark chapter 14, verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. Are you with me this morning? For 3 years, Judas was all around Jesus, but he was making sums about this Jesus. I want to say to you this morning, you know, so often we are around Jesus, we can see even through the SOS and all these stuff, we can see Jesus at work, we can see the fear of God, but we are so on our own agenda, it's just scary. This is such an old story. Because if I look through the Bible, it's always the same. Same old, same old. Peter almost missed Jesus because of the flesh, because of the pendulum in his life. I'm this great guy. Jesus, I'll sort things out for you because I know how to sort things out, eh? I even have a sword that I can sort that guy and his ear out when he comes against you. And Jesus said, that was not my plan. I'm supposed to be delivered. We look at the Bible and we see the story even of the prodigal son being so arrogant. Like Judas, being so arrogant that I will go and seek my fortune. I will do things according to my way. The pendulum. Are you with me this morning? At the place where he could control his life so much that he can go to the city to go and make some money. Because, ach, Dad, you know, I know better. And then you've got the son that stays at home. The Martha. He's always just so, you know, cross with his dad. Because his dad is giving the benefit of the doubt to the youngest son. Always making sums in his head about what he's doing. Rather than just being the son that his father wanted him to be. And then we've got the prodigal son coming back to the father. Being desperate enough to say, Jesus, I'm content. God the Father, I'm content. With you being my father, making the best choices in life. I want to be on your agenda. I'll serve on this farm forever. Just because being in your presence is just better than being left to my own devices. And this morning I want to tell you, you know what, so many times, you know, we are just as guilty. And I'm talking about myself because I find myself just the other day sitting in the office and, you know, somebody telling me, oh, you are doing such a great work for the Lord. And I'm just thinking, yay, this is so nice. Doing great things for God, eh? Okay, it's only the pastor going through phases like that. You are doing a good work here. The people are sorted out, Yaku. This never happens to this church. So, do you experience this from time to time? When you just feel that, God, I've got it all together. I'm reading your word. I'm living by your principles. God, I'm just so the main kunain. And then soon to discover that you don't know anything at all. I want to say to you this morning, if I talk about this, I know that it's something that God so often teach me, that Hercules, just find my agenda. You're so off my plans and purposes for your life. Just make sure to just get back to me. And then I say, God, I'm sorry. I just want to serve you. And this morning my heart's desire is that we should get to where Mary was. To, against all odds, against the flow, say, Jesus, I want to do what's important to you. I want to serve you wholeheartedly because I want to serve your agenda. Let's just stand this morning. You know what? We've got a conference later on in the year. I almost forgot it. In Stellenbosch, just to get the whole family together, the whole Shofar family. I want to just encourage you to come. We're going to have an awesome time just as a family. All the churches are just planning how they will get there. Please just, you know, try to get a bus or something. I don't know. I know it's very far. But it's just awesome to see what God is doing all over the world. But you know what? This morning, my desire is just that each one of us will be honest before the Lord. Just about, you know, where we stand with Him. Where's the pendulum in your life? We can fool ourselves, and it's so easy. I fool myself many times, and God just reminds me, be careful if you think you stand, lest you fall. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we pray for your presence in our lives. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name that we will not play church, we will not fool around, Father God, thinking that, Father, even having prosperity in this lifetime, even, Father, having so many things, Father God, stuff, thinking that we are going to change the world, Father. And then you are a jealous God. You are a God that loves us enough that you want to draw us close to you. And Father, you will give us anything. But Father, so often we are standing in front of you indignantly exposed through our own devices, Father God, and our own scheming and conniving to try to make this gospel thing work for us. But Father, we are just serving our own purposes. And this morning I want to pray in Jesus' name that you will create within us a heart of flesh. Father, a heart of flesh to really understand that this life is not about, Father God, what we own, and Father, the great things that's happening all around us. But even serving in the kitchen like Martha can be precious, Father, if it's a sacrifice unto your throne that you've asked us to do. Serving you in whatever capacity, Father God, is just a blessing. And this morning we consecrate our lives unto you in the name of Jesus. As we stand here, and I want you this morning, just do, this is the most important part of this service. Just keep your eyes closed. Because this part of the service is not about nice preaching. It's not about having a nice church. And it's about you serving an almighty God and spending time with Him. And you being honest with yourself and with Him. As you stand here this morning, I want you to be very honest with yourself. If you are missing God and the pendulum is swinging to either side, just raise your hand in acknowledgement to Jesus to say, Jesus, please, come and do your work within me. Jesus, please, come and help me so that I will not serve my own, but that I will really this morning come and serve your purposes. Here's a few hands. Praise God. There's some more of you that this morning just needs to, just a memorial stone in your life. Just to make sure this morning that you, you know, it's not about church and the way that we are doing church and, you know, that you must respond to the altar call. This morning it's about a memorial stone that you make before God that you will remember for always. Just saying, God, I want to serve your purposes. And Father, I want to lay down my own right now. There's a lot of you that raised your hands. Just come to the front quickly, because